football game. Dorial Green-Beckham, DGB, it's an abdominal. It's an oblique contusion. It's going to be pretty sore for him. We'll hold him out of practice actually on Wednesday this week, but he should, right now, he should be okay for the game. Ryan Matthews' knee is good. He's actually going to return to practice this week along with Jordan Matthews. He'll return to practice. And then Big V is coming along. He's going to do a little more this week, not from a practice standpoint, but from a rehab standpoint. He's doing good, but we'll see where he is again later in the week. Everybody else is good.
Hey, Doug, there was a run by Wentz in the first quarter in which Ertz opted not to block Vontaze Burfict. Have you got an explanation on that yet, or what's your understanding of what happened there?
There was a couple in the game, especially in the first half. Was this
the
And he ended up running to the right. He ended up scrambling to the right on the play. Yeah, it was a situation, I think, where it might have been the fact that and I haven't talked to Ertz yet, so I haven't seen him, this morning. So looking at the tape and watching where Carson was scrambling, of course, he was heading towards out of bounds, and I think he just pulled off at that point. That's all I can say at that. But I'll – definitely going to ask him why.
What do you want your tight end to do in that situation?
Well, if he can pick up a block, obviously we ask our guys to turn and block. We don't ever want anybody to block from behind or anything like that, but at the same time try to find a block downfield if they can.
Doug, Carson said after the game he didn't think mechanics was the issue with his overthrows. You said they were. Why is there a discrepancy there?
Well, I'll just tell you this. Going back and watching the tape this morning and looking at the film, there's times when there's pressure in his face, so the ball's going to tend to sail high. There's also times where he's still back on his back foot, and the ball sails high. So it's a combination of both, and it's just something we got to continue to work on.
The mechanics you've talked about, his back foot and his base, is that so? That in turn is affecting his arm motion.
Well, that's just the feet and off the back foot, shoulders are going to be high. Ball tends to release high, ball's going to be high. There were a couple throws where he was able to step into his throw and make some nice accurate throws across the middle to Trey and to Zach a couple times. So it's a little bit of pressure and a little bit of just making sure we're not sitting back there in the pocket off his back foot.
You're going to see a lot of pressure in your face. So how's he gonna get over that?
Well, the biggest thing, and I think the just subtle movements. We talk about subtle movements in the pocket, not big drastic movements. They could be just the fact of just hitching forward to avoid a lateral or a side rush, maybe stepping lateral to avoid anything coming into his face. But the biggest thing is we want to make sure that he's on time and in rhythm with the throw. Listen, there's going to be times when you're going to have to throw off your back foot and make throws. That's just the nature. There's never really just a pure pocket with the way teams are either blitz rushing or just the pressure that you get from a bull rush. So it's just things that we learn and we continue to work on.
The second interception was just on that one, the overthrew words, and it appears like a clean pocket. Was the mechanics a problem on that play?
No, that one was more just, I think, just being overly aggressive, quite honestly. Sometimes you get in that position where you're trailing in a game and you just want to make a play and you press just a little bit and it's something that I know he'd like to have back. Obviously we'd all like to have that one back on that throw.
Do you worry about Carson at all? I mean, he's going through he's a young kid going through a tough time right now. His confidence, the swagger he had early in the season. How do you see him handling this?
I see him handling it well. These are discussions that we will have, myself, Frank, Carson, as we talk to him because we've played obviously at this level and my experience even in this city playing and knowing what that's all about, we can really help him, and it's our job to help him and make sure that he stays on track and stay focused and he doesn't get derailed by anything that's coming from the outside. Listen, everything that from a quarterback's perspective, we get to control everything. We touch the ball every single snap. So the beauty of it is we control it, and we can do right going forward with that decision.
You said that you wanted ideally you were going to give him that first year to work on all this stuff. Do you still think it now, looking at the fact that he still can't get over these mechanical issues, that it would have been beneficial for him to sit? than to play?
Well, I mean, that's hard to answer. I mean, because, you know, if we'd had Sam here or whatever, I mean, yeah, I mean, you'd have time to work on this. And then we, you know, these are some of the decisions that I made back when the trade was made, that if there was going to be some growing pains, these were going to be some of the pains we were going to have to go through. And just him understanding and him learning and us growing together as an offense, he and I growing as coach and quarterback together, and it's all part of the process. And you know, the thing about Carson is he continues to work and practice on it. I know Frank and Coach DeFilippo work on it every single day with him, and he's very conscious of it. You know, and we're all disappointed that things aren't turning out our way. But yet we just continue to work.
The concern is there that this tough stretch for him could negatively affect him long term, and how do you avoid that?
Well, you avoid it by trying to, you know, win a football game, and you try to win as many as you can now, you know, with these last four that we got, and obviously you're looking towards, if you're looking towards next season, you always want to go out, you know, with a bang and try to win as many as you can down the stretch. But, you know, we all sit here. I sit here today and say, hey, I wish things were different, you know, this season, the way things are going. But at the same time, you know, we continue to work, and I don't think it's going to affect Carson going forward. I just don't think it's going to affect him at all, and because he's really a pro's pro, and he's learning how to handle adversity, first time probably in his career, you know, it's something that we get to the OTAs and we get a full off season, and we just continue to work on.
Next year, and the idea of, like, you know, I know the wins and losses aren't there, but you see things moving forward. Have Jeffrey and Howie expressed to you the standard they're using to evaluate you in this season? And if they have, what is that standard?
They have not. In fact, from both of them, it's been 100% support, you know, on everything. And you know, I meet with Jeffrey and Howie every week, and we discuss a lot of things and go over a lot of things. You know, every week it's very positive. You know, I just don't think personally you can base a season on one season. You can base a guy's career on one season. I think you got to, you know, give it time to develop. We got a rookie quarterback. We got to have time to develop this quarterback. It just doesn't happen overnight. So, by no means have they expressed anything to me, and it's been positive and very supportive.
Along those lines, do you feel like after this season your job is still secure with the team?
For sure. Yeah.
And have they reinforced that with you through the
process? Yes.
Yeah. If I could ask you about Carson, is it harder to kind of handle the distractions when things are going badly, or early in the year when, you know, things were going great and everyone thought he was the next best thing and all that?
That's a great question, because I think it's both. You know, I think you learn how to handle, in this business, you learn how to handle the positive and you learn how to handle the negative. And the way you do it is you maintain a sort of that even keel, you know, a main baseline, and you never get too high and you never get too low. It's never as bad as you think, and it's never as good as you think, because there's always room for improvement, and that goes with me included. And you know, as I say every week, I look at myself there, but I think we can take a lot of positive from both winning and losing.
You challenged the team.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. You challenged the team last week after the Green Bay game to not just go through the motions here toward the end of the season. You're down 29-0 in the third quarter yesterday. Did was that the kind of reaction you were looking for?
To be down 29-0.
Do you think you got the kind of?
Oh, I didn't want to be
did
down.
Did you get the kind of?
I didn't see any quitting the guys. I mean, we battled back. We scored two touchdowns. Had opportunities on a couple more drives to score. Defense was creating turnovers in the second half. I mean, everybody was. We had a kickoff return. I mean, everybody was doing everything we could to get ourselves back into that football game. And so I didn't see any quitting the guys. The dejection and the the ill feeling after the game in the locker room, when you look at those guys in the face and look at them in the eye, you know, shows me that this team, they care about each other. They're disappointed that obviously we didn't play well, and we get another opportunity.
The strength of this team going into the season was the defensive line. It hasn't been productive for over a month now. At some point, do you, being an offensive coach, help Jim scheme some different attack, maybe blitz more, maybe put a little bit more pressure on your defensive backs who aren't up to the pressure that, you know, that they're enduring now? Does something have to change over the last four games to get more pressure on the quarterback? Because the last four quarterbacks have just, you know, cut you up.
Yeah, you know, and Jim and I, you know, obviously with discussions and talking about that and everything, and one of the things, and the reason I brought Jim Schwartz here is because he has the ability, and he's done it with you know, different teams to put pressure with four. I mean, that's been his philosophy. That's been our philosophy ever since. And if you start, I don't want to say it's a panic move, but if you start trying to re-scheme things and doing things a little bit out of the norm of what you sort of have your game plans and your philosophy based around, I mean, you're gonna give up something to get something. So if you're gonna put pressure on the quarterback with five or six guys, then you're asking your back end to hold up. And you're seeing, you know, even with rushing four, you're seeing, you know, plays down the field being made. So, you know, obviously there's a fine line there, I believe. We still, what was the number, 19 pressures in the game yesterday. So it's not for the lack of effort and scheme. We have to coach it better. We have to play better in all aspects of the game. And, you know, again, it goes back to that we're gonna get something or we're going to give up something.
Doug, if you're only
– following up on Les's question, the references to not quitting, and I'm sure that is in reference to the fourth quarter, but it takes a certain level of play to be trailing 29-0 before that. How do you reconcile that difference, and what makes you think the team is getting the message, as you spoke about last week?
Well, you know, for, again, being consistent with the messaging, you know, I meet with, you know, I have a player committee that you know, and I meet with them every week, and we talk about these issues, and we talk about certain things, and without getting into a lot of detail, the feedback has been extremely positive from the team, from those guys. So that right there leads me to believe that we're still on track. Now, do we expect to go out and play like we've played the last couple of weeks? No, we don't. Do we expect to be down 19-0 at halftime? No, we don't. Therefore, it goes back to, you know, I know where we are as a football team as far as, you know, we are playing with some young guys on offense. There are some younger guys on defense. And, you know, we've got a left guard playing right tackle, and there's some pieces that are just not cohesive right now. I mean, when we had everybody early part of the season, you know, you had Lane was there at the right side, and, you know, Allen was at the left guard position, and things were rolling pretty good. So we've had our share of adversity, you know, this season, and by no means do we go into any game, even the night before, the guys are energetic and ready, and you know, I reminded them Saturday night just how good they can be, and you know, I just felt that you know, everything about this team right now is still right there for the taking, and I don't see any quitting the guys.
There have been some issues with sign counts, cadences, Kelsey, Wentz communications. What have been? They don't seem like they've gone away this year. We've had a lot of.
Yeah, there's been a lot of pre-snap penalties. Yeah, a lot of pre-snap penalties and things that we address in practice, and things that if it happens in practice, I actually stop it and we restart it and we do it again. I mean, it's got to be a reinforced mindset, mentality, and you know, with the snap counts, we do use a lot of multiple snap counts. Even in the silent cadence world, we do a lot of things. We want to get indicators by the defense. We're asking Carson to do some things in the run game and with protections. And you're getting a lot of different looks from teams on third down, so we need to utilize our snap count. The team, the offense, is very aware of that. And sometimes if there's a little bit of a hesitation in Carson's cadence, you know, our tackles are set to jump and to pass set, and it happened a little bit yesterday with Allen and JP, and of course Ertz had one and Isaac had one as a tight end. We can't put ourselves in that situation, and we'll continue to use the cadences. We got to continue to work on it. Kelsey and Carson are working every single day. They talk about it even after practice. They sit in meetings. They watch tape together. They understand it. And we actually go into games sort of detailing as far as, you know, we want to use cadence on this play, and this play as we go.
Was Nelson going to be active if Jordan was able to go?
Yes.
So he's going to play 100%. He played 100% of the snaps. Was he still going to play that amount? Did you still...
Because Jordan would have been more, you know, inside slot receiver if Jordan was healthy.
Doug, when you watch the tape, can you honestly say that every one of your players played hard when you see receivers open, a rushing touchdown where nobody touched the rusher? McLeod looked like he just stood there, and I don't want to dime out players for you, but can you honestly say that everybody played hard when you watch that tape?
Not everybody. Not everybody, and that's the accountability that I talk about. And, you know, I hold coaches accountable for that. I hold myself accountable for that because it all starts with me, and I make sure that tonight, and I pride myself each week to make sure the guys are ready to go. But at the same time, it comes down to it's a mentality by each individual player. And, you know, this is a business where we have to be ready to go every single weekend, because every team in the league, I mean, there's some teams that are better than others, obviously, but for the most part, anything can happen each weekend.
That's it, guys. Are you, you know, this team needs to be loved up a little bit, you know, when they're down like this, or do you think it's time for tough love?
I think it's both. A level of that tough love. There's got to be that accountability that I was talking about. I implore and I challenge the leaders of the football team, you know, to stand up and really not only hold themselves but the rest of the team and listen. It's not a panic move or anything like that. But just, hey, let's just make sure we're doing things right. Everybody just do things right, do their jobs, do their assignments, and good things are going to happen. So. Obviously, again, it starts with me, and I've got to make sure that I'm doing it right, and I'm holding myself accountable. And you know, as you mentioned earlier with Jeffrey and Howie, if they're holding me accountable and all that, I mean, that's where it starts. And then I relay that message to the assistants and onto the team. Thanks, guys.